to another episode of As I See It, an umpire podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joe Sweeney, and I am an IHSA baseball and softball official in the state of Illinois and an IHSAA baseball official, which is in the state of Indiana. In this episode, I start off with the first segment talking about some terms and just trying to relate to the audience that may not know or understand umpiring, because we talk about some things on here that can be confusing or a little bit unknown. In the second segment, we'll be talking about rotations, some mistakes I have made in these games in the last week or so. I also talk about a course that I took online, which was very beneficial, and it's from Umpire Classroom, and you'll find a link to that in the description. And you'll also, with that link, get $5 off the course. And finally, we end up with my first games in the state of Indiana. So as you all know, that I started in Indiana this year, and I actually ended up working my first game over there, and it was a really good experience. I said on the first episode of this season, I was getting close to 900 plays, and I had actually made a mistake. It was at that time, it was around 700, but I went ahead and put this on a couple of Facebook groups, and we are now over 1,000. So thank you very much. I appreciate all of you listening. And I hope you continue to share and like us on Facebook, like us on Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcast. So here we go. In this segment, I want to talk a little bit about umpire positioning and just to give some clarifications on some things that I talk about. I know there are some of you that listen that don't have a large knowledge of baseball and or umpiring. And I know that if you do umpire, you're going to know all of these things that I talk about. But I have talked to some of my listeners, some of the ones that I know personally, and they've either said it's pretty technical, they just really don't understand, or I've gotten questions about different things I talk about in the game. So I want to talk about the two positions in a two-man crew. You've got the plate umpire, who henceforth will be called PU. And you have the base umpire in a two-man system. He's called the U1. So positioning, if I ever say a position, this is where the base umpire has nobody on base. He would be standing about 10 feet past the bag in foul territory, or depending upon where the first baseman is at, a little farther back. When the U1 is in the B position, he is to the left of the pitcher. So if you're facing home plate, he's to the left, which actually is the right side of the infield. He is positioned halfway between the dirt circle and second base. And depending upon what runners are where, he's in the B position. And then if we go to the C position, it's the other side of the pitcher, which would be the pitcher's right-hand side or the left side of the infield, depending upon which way you're looking. And he would also be between the dirt circle and second base. So these are the only three positions that we have in a two-person crew, depending upon where the runner's at. Now, as far as a PU goes, obviously they call balls and strikes from behind the catcher. Another term that we use is rotation, and that just determines where the umpire is going to focus his attention, depending upon what base runners are on base and what the situation is. So if we've got a runner on first, we've got a rotation where the umpire in B is going to take the batter runner and all calls and plays on the batter runner. And the PU is going to take the runner on first or all calls on that particular runner past second base. And so this is what a rotation is. And I will talk a little bit about rotations in this episode. So I just wanted you guys to be clear on what these rotations are. These positions and rotations, if you ever watch a game and you watch the umpires, they should signal every time a situation changes. We call this a pre-pitch. And those different signals that they give each other to let them know how they're going to rotate, if they're rotating, what the situation is, sometimes for an infield fly or a time play where a run could score just before there's an out, as long as it's not a force on a batter runner. In this segment, I want to talk a little bit about responsibilities and rotations. In my games, I typically work plate most of the time. which I enjoy plate, and it's honestly the place I feel most comfortable because I've got the most experience on it. And when I'm on bases, I have some particular things that I'm trying to work on as of late, and most of those are knowing what to do when and understanding what my responsibilities are and putting those into action. So the first game I want to talk about that I almost hung myself out to dry was I was on bases, and I believe we had runners on first and second with a ground ball into the six hole or to the shortstop hole. It went pretty deep. And so as the runners are forced and the ball goes to the shortstop, he bobbles it. So then I take my attention to the touches. And particular, I took my attention to the touch of third. And this is what I mean by this is when a runner touches base, and I thought there was a possibility that I could go home. So I, as the ball is bobbled, I took my eyes to him to see if he was going to touch. And about this time, I realized that the shortstop's getting ready to fire the ball across to first base. And so I almost got caught looking at the wrong thing and didn't get rotated around because I thought as he bobbled it, there was no way they would get him at first. So I luckily got rotated, made the call at first. The runner was pretty slow and they got him by quite a bit. But where I lacked in my responsibilities was that that touch at third base was not for me. That was my partner's touch at third base. And my responsibility was the ball. Now, if the ball had taken me into there, that would have been my call on safer out. But my responsibility was to call it first or wherever the ball takes the play. It could have been a serious situation had I thought the ball was going to go to third and not make, be able to make the call at first. But this is a learning experience, a mistake that I've luckily only made once so far. And it's hopefully something I'll learn about in the future. The next one I want to talk about happened in, it was a JV game. Again, I was working bases. I signaled to my partner that I was going to rotate towards the batter runner at first because we had a runner at first. And he was going to take any play that came into third on a ball that went to the outfield. So as the ball goes to the outfield on the hit, I watch the touch of second, the touch of first. And as I look for the ball at that point, because the ball takes you to the play, I saw that the ball was coming into third. And instead of staying with my rotation like I was supposed to, which was the batter runner at first, if he possibly went into second, and allowing my partner to take the play at third, I took 3 steps to third base, watched the play because the ball came in, and as I'm calling safe, I look out of the corner of my eye and I see my partner up the line, and this was his call. And again, this was where I should have let him make the call. But unfortunately, I made a call at the same time he did. But by the grace of God, we both made a safe call and nobody was any the wiser. It would have been pretty bad for both of us. I would have made both of us look bad if I'd have called something different than my partner. I went up and talked to him, very, very experienced umpire, doing exactly what he was supposed to. But this is one of those times, experience is what is the teacher here. I always know my rotation, but at this particular time, I did not make the correct rotation and it could have hung us out to dry. Now, the last one is about responsibilities. And just like the previous two plays, every umpire and every play has a responsibility. And I want to talk about a play that happened in a high school game that my daughter was playing in. It potentially cost the game, but I just want to mention it because it was one of those things where each umpire has a certain call. And in this particular play, we had a tag up situation at third and a fly ball that went out to right center. So there was a potential tag with a catch and a play at the plate. So it looked like from the video that I saw that home plate umpire was responsible for the tag up, while the base umpire had responsibilities on the fly ball. And the interesting thing was, it looked like the plate umpire had the touch, had the tag up, and the umpire in the bases got the catch. The runner tagged and came home and was about 3 steps off as he turned around to see her. And the play came home. Subsequently, she was safe because the play was, the throw was bad or something like that. And immediately, the coach for the defense yells to throw the ball to third for an appeal. And at that point in time, the home plate umpire signaled safe and the base umpire signaled out. So basically saying out on appeal of the tag up. And to be honest, it was not his responsibility. And on top of that, He wasn't even looking at the tag up. This is one of those things where we've got to let our partners do their job, and I'm guilty of this too. These situations can be avoided if we pre-game and have a really good understanding about what our responsibilities are. In this segment, I want to talk a little bit about Umpire Classroom. As you know, last episode, I had Patrick Farber from Umpire Classroom on the show to talk a little bit about what he does with Umpire Classroom and his journey. And I felt it was a pretty good interview. I really enjoyed talking to him. But what he left me with was an Umpire 101 course. I took this Umpire 101 course, and for those of you who either are new to umpiring or even if you're rounding third in your career, this was such a good comprehensive course. I learned so much, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to starting to go back through it again a second time just because there was so much information. And as Patrick stated, it's a course that if you're interested in umpiring and you just have a little bit of a background of the game of baseball, this is one of those courses that will get you prepared, as he says, to do your first freshman game or even, summer ball games, which is a good time to apply all the things that you learned or put into practice some of the things that you heard about. It was a super good program, and I just wanted to take a second to acknowledge that and recommend it to anybody who is thinking about getting into umpiring and you just don't have a lot of training or you don't have a lot of training available to you in the area that you work. It's umpireclassroom.com and it's Umpire 101. In this last segment, I want to talk to you a little bit about my first game over in the state of Indiana. If you remember back on the first episode of this season, I talked a little bit about getting into baseball over in the state of Indiana, and I got into it a little bit late. I got my certification or January, and obviously by then, the schedule is pretty much full as far as umpires go. They start, a year ahead of time, so there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity for me to get in on varsity baseball over there, so I had to kind of take what I could get. Although I had several JV games already on the schedule, my first game that I ended up working ended up being a varsity contest. It was played at a Division I college field, which was a pretty nice field, and it was just a pretty good experience overall, especially for, the kids. But as an umpire, that kind of atmosphere and that kind of field, it's a really neat feeling to be on that. My partner for the game was a very experienced umpire, 35 plus years. He was very encouraging when I first met him. We went through the pregame, talked about our game, hand signals, who's covering what. And even though most of these are pretty common and pretty standard, it's always a good idea to go over these. But he was really encouraging and talked a little bit about the teams because he knew some history and he knew the coaches and he knew the players. And he had some really good things and positive things to say about the players and the coaches and how well they treated the game and treated the officials and just went about their business. So I was pretty nervous in this game because I felt like I did have a lot to prove. So I texted my partner several hours before the game and told him that I would take plate, and partially because I feel most comfortable behind the plate, but I think this is where you can really prove yourself. And so I was very nervous going into it. He kind of put me at ease, but I was really working on my timing. I wanted to use a good rhythm throughout the entire game, and I wanted to keep it steady through the entire game. In the pregame, my partner told me, he said, just relax and I've got your back. Anything that happens, I've got a good handle on it. And he did just that. The game was very well played. I kept my cool, although I was very nervous. I really focused on my timing, and I think because I was so nervous, that's what helped me keep my focus with my timing. And after the game, my partner was very encouraging. I felt like myself, I felt like this was the best game that I had ever called behind the plate. And I think a lot of that is because of the focus I had. And it just kind of reminds me that that's the kind of focus that I need to go into every game. We owe it to our craft. We owe it to the people we work with. We owe it especially to the players and the coaches to be laser focused. And I believe that's why I felt like I did have such a good game. But coming off the field, my partner had a lot of good, encouraging things to say. It's always good to get feedback from your partners. This was no different. He was pretty impressed. He told me that he would love to work with me again. He thought I did a really good job, and he told me that he didn't felt like I took one pitch off, which means I was on focused on every single pitch. You know, during the course of a 7-inning game, you see several hundred pitches, and it's really easy to kind of lose focus and take a pitch or two off or just get tired and have to snap back in. But he told me first, third, fifth, seventh inning, he said, you were exactly the same. Your timing was exactly the same. And that's really what we're focused on is, and that's really what we want to do when we get better is just to be really good on our timing. And it just helps us to be more consistent and helps us to get a lot more right. But it was a very exciting game. It was a fun game. And I think I owe it to my partner because he made it that fun. You know, he talked it up in the beginning. He said, no matter what, we're going to have fun. We're going to have a good time. And that's exactly what we did. And it was a good start to my Indiana umpiring career. Well, that wraps up yet another episode of As I See It, an Umpire podcast. As always, we really appreciate you listening. Share us with your friends and like us on your favorite podcast outlet. And as always, I'd like to leave you with a bit of scripture. This comes from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. God bless you, and until next time, thank you for listening.